answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Breaking news. Trump reportedly caught on tape. Damaging new evidence in the Trump classified documents criminal investigation. CNN is reporting prosecutors have obtained an audio recording of a summer 2021 meeting in which former President Donald Trump acknowledges that he held on to a classified Pentagon document about a potential attack on Iran. The recording indicating Trump understood that he had retained classified materials after leaving the White House. The report adds, on the recording, Trump's comments suggest he would like to share the information, but he's aware of limitations on his ability post-presidency to declassify records. This directly undercuts one of Trump's defenses that he could and that he did declassify everything. CNN has not listened to the recording, but multiple sources have described it.
Ha! Breaking news, but no one's listened to it. Others have told us about it. They're whispering over their fences about it. We have no proof. No one has seen it. But it's breaking news on MSNBC that Trump might have had some classified documents that he never revealed, and he was keeping them out of the view of any federal agents or anyone else because it could be a smoking gun to prove that he covered things up, that he was indeed mishandling classified documents. You probably have not heard that report as restated by MSNBC and the rest of the state-controlled media because you don't want to listen to them and bother with them. I understand that. That's why you have me. I do it for you. I do your dirty work. And believe me, it's dirty and it's nasty. And I come away and I'm thinking, I'm going to need a full bottle of Jack to cleanse myself of this. Hey, glad to have you on board with us for this Friday. Here we are, June 2nd, 2023. During the noon hour, we are live streaming. You go to rumble.com, enter in Larry Connors USA, or you can enter in News Talk STL. We appear on both platforms. Glad to have you watching or listening. And if you miss it now live, you're pulling it up later, you can do that. Tell your friends and family to do it if they can't do it now. You can subscribe for free. Goes right to your mailbox. We do not share your information. Same thing about getting audio recordings of any of our podcasts. Simply go to LarryConnorsUSA.com and subscribe. Be glad to have you. So here we have this report from MSNBC, and they're just, oh God, they're just ecstatic that there might be federal prosecutors have an audio recording of a summer 2021 meeting in which Trump acknowledges he had a classified Pentagon document about a potential attack on Iran, that he held on to it. That would undercut his argument that he declassified everything, but I want you to remember, they said from the beginning, we haven't confirmed this, but we're going to report it. Now, I've been in the business long enough to know those stories like that will happen. We have enough to go with it, but it's not confirmed, and if it's going to target an individual or a particular case, we tend to wait. That would be the general ethical approach. Unless you're just trying to gut somebody and something, you're just going to run with it and say, we're working on the confirmation. Now, the other part of the thing is that if it's already exploding everywhere, well, you can't ignore it. You could say it, but we haven't confirmed it. We're still investigating. It may well turn out to be as reported. But you know what they ignore is what is in front of them. And James Comer of Kentucky, overseeing the House and Ways Oversight Committee, and Congressman Jordan of Ohio, overseeing the Judiciary Committee, and Senators Grassley and Johnson on the Senate side, all pointing out all these bank records that show money going into Hunter Biden and then distributed to Biden family members, including grandkids. Those are documented bank records. There's no supposition. It's right there. But they will not even open their mouth to report Biden might be tied to this. And I don't want you to rush to judgment on Joe Biden himself. I urge you, do not rush to judgment on Joe Biden getting the money. But there's so much more evidence there, and they ignore it. Why? Well, because we're talking about Donald Trump. What can we do to destroy them? Let's go back to MSNBC as they're trying to talk about this story that Trump had Iran invasion documents, which he knew were classified. He had not declassified. But again, are they really looking for proof, or they just want to say, let's just put this up in the air and see where it falls down? And here's a, they're talking about between the anchor and Maya Wiley, who is a human civil rights attorney, saying, yes, it's this is big, this is big. But you listen to her, she's also going to admit it's big, but it's unconfirmed.
This is some big news, and of course the caveat is NBC News has not confirmed the reporting yet, but assuming arguendo what we've read so far is true, Maya, I'm going to start with you. Your thoughts on this explosive new CNN report?
Well, you said the word, Katie, explosive. I mean, all of this investigation on the part of Jack Smith is about determining Trump's state of mind if Donald Trump is to be charged with any crime here. Now, we already know the evidence has been very strong, and, you know, many legal experts of all stripes and even all political persuasions, including Donald Trump's own former attorney, believe he's in deep peril on an obstruction charge related to these presidential documents that he does not own, that the American people own. But anything that gives evidence and indication that he completely understood that he was not to have or share these documents is just the last nail in a coffin that already has a whole lot of nails in it.
That is a whole lot of MSNBC BS. As they flat out admitted, it's big but unconfirmed. And it's shocking. Yes, that's the way to describe it. If it's true, but we don't know that it's true, but we're not going to stop at not saying it. Come on. Come on, man. We got a good story here. So that's the reaction of Maya Wiley, one of the guests, a human and civil rights attorney talking about. Then the question to Paul Butler. Now, I want you to listen closely to his reaction. This is a former federal prosecutor. You think he would learn to couch his wording better, or then again, I don't really care about being ethical prosecutor. Let's just jump on that train.
Do we now have some of the strongest evidence in support of an Espionage Act violation here?
Absolutely, Katie. This is devastating for Donald Trump for two reasons. First, as Maya said, it's a confession on audio tape that Trump knew that he possessed classified documents. So Trump's defense that he had declassified everything is just a lie. Trump was fully aware that he was illegally hoarding top secret government documents. And second, to your point, Katie, if this reporting is true, this is about national security. It's way more than a documents case, as Mar-a-Lago has sometimes been dismissed. So the most important question is one we don't know the answer to, but Jack Smith might. How was Trump intending to use this material? Maybe he was just holding on to it to impress his friends and kind of a criminal version of show and tell. But prosecutors, they always follow the money, almost certainly suspect that Trump had some kind of caper in mind, that he either did or planned to use his illegal access to the nation's most sensitive secrets to enrich himself or to forward his political ambitions.
My God, those of you watching me on Rumble right now, you're probably saying, Larry is going to Larry's and berserk behind the camera. You're right, I am. Again, that's a federal prosecutor. If it's true, and Maya said the tape said, but no one has heard it. No one is being quoted that actually heard it. Someone said they heard it from someone who had heard it. They said they didn't hear it, but they heard someone on and on and on. And he said, they often follow the bank records. Well, now that is a federal prosecutor, he would know. Speaking of bank records, again, we have documented bank records on money and the Biden family. And Congressman Comer said yesterday that the FBI Director Wray confirmed there was a claim that it was filed as a Form 1023 by someone claiming they saw Joe Biden give a foreign national a favor for $5 million, but he's refusing to give them the document. So they're going to issue a subpoena and come after it. Now, there's a story that's got a meaty hook to it, And you got the FBI director, according to Comer, saying he said that. Now, if you don't think he told him that, then go ask Ray. Did you tell him that? Justice Department has not denied one time, not one time, has the Justice Department denied that there might have been money going to the Hunter Biden family. And that would include Joe Biden. They haven't named Joe Biden directly, but now this Form 1023 says it. And the FBI director, in meeting with Comer, said, yes, the document exists, at least according to Comer. That is a bigger and more substantial and documented story than this thing wafting in the air. It's a scent of smoke from somewhere. We don't know what's burning, but if it's Trump, we're gonna make sure we keep that fire stoked. Meanwhile, another story, how the FBI oversteps bounds again.
Unfortunately, I believe that the FBI does have a significant trust issue with members of Congress, and that's part of what we'll deal with the working group. And it's, I would say that trust has only been made worse by the recently declassified Section 702 compliance report covering December 2019 through May of 2020. In that report, there was a number of concerning things that were brought forward. There was queries done inappropriately by the FBI on a local political party. And then secondarily, included in there was one specific instance of abuse involving multiple queries of a sitting member of Congress in the FBI's FISA databases.
Now, that is damning. You were listening then to Illinois Congressman Darren LaHood. He's a Republican. He's talking about all these violations of the FBI overstepping and questioning FISA warrants issued that dealt with a sitting member of Congress. That's very scary in the sense that the FBI is investigating a sitting member of Congress. If they have a good reason to, and it's legit, I say go for it. There is no one above the law. I'm going to stand on that all the time. But the way the FBI has been conducting a lot of things, do you trust that statement that if they say we have legitimate reason to do this? Congressman LaHood says, I think it's an FBI overstep. He's looked closely at this case. I mean, he's dug into it, and he's looked at it from every angle. Now, this is his approach that this is, again, the weaponization of our government against anybody that they consider would not follow the Democrat leftist narrative. Now, I hate to throw Democrats under the bus with that. Let's just go with leftists, because there are a lot of Democrats that do not like the way this is going either. They believe in law and order, and they believe in equal justice, regardless of your politics, your skin color, your gender, your nationality, equal. But the left really doesn't care. It does not fit their narrative. It gets in the way of a good story. So LaHood added a bit more information.
Included in there was one specific instance of abuse involving multiple queries of a sitting member of Congress in the FBI's FISA databases. Buried in a footnote of the declassified assessment, this specific incident described as follows. Quote, an intelligence analyst with the FBI conducted multiple queries using only the name of a U.S. congressman. The 707 report describes the specific facts that led the analyst to conduct these queries. These queries retrieved unminimized FISA-acquired information, including Section 702 acquired products, that were opened. FBI advised that no minimized FISA-acquired information was disseminated or used in any way. This was reviewed, obviously, by the National Security Division of the U.S. Department of Justice and ODNI, and based on what they reviewed, they found these queries to be wholly inappropriate, not compliant, and a violation because they were overly broad as constructed.
Now, if you understood nothing else in that, you were hearing him say when they reviewed it, it was wrong. It shouldn't have been carried out. It was poorly constructed. They overstepped their authority again because they basically have a free rein to do whatever the hell they want. And of course, you may have a question. Who's the congressman they're going after? Is it in Illinois? I mean, is it a Republican? Is it a Democrat? Is it someone they fear? Is it Trump? Well, no, he said a congressman. Well, actually, Illinois Congressman LaHood knows the answer. Here is why he is so familiar with this case.
I think that the report's characterization of this FBI analyst's action as a mere misunderstanding of querying procedures is indicative of the culture that the FBI has come to expect and even tolerate. It is also indicative of the FBI's continued failure to appreciate how the misuse of this authority is seen on Capitol Hill. And I want to make clear the FBI's inappropriate querying of a duly elected member of Congress is egregious and a violation not only that degrades the trust in FISA, but is viewed as a threat to the separation of powers. I have had the opportunity to review the classified summary of this violation, and it is my opinion that the member of Congress that was wrongfully queried multiple times solely by his name was in fact me.
Ha! It was him. Now, did they have a legitimate reason? I know the left will say, well, yes, they did. Every source has looked at it, as he quoted, said they overstepped their bounds again. Again. We got a lot to cover the next hour. FBI retaliation against whistleblowers continues. They're not going to just simply let them make their remarks and go away. They're going to punish them, and they are getting some kind of special protection that, I lied. They're not giving them any special protection. But they should be getting it. We'll get into that story for you. And President Biden took a nasty fall yesterday. Now, you want to hear Donald Trump's response. That'll be coming up before we wrap up the hour. And then we got the story of a Glamour magazine cover features a pregnant man. A pregnant man. In the second hour, which will only be on Rumble, you won't hear on this broadcast, but on the second hour of Rumble, an artificial intelligence drone kills its operator. Now what do you think about artificial intelligence? Lock and load. Ready on the right. I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau, 644-4930, Wellington Environmental, your world, cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington. When I endorse a product, I want it to be a quality product I put my name behind. That's why I'm recommending when it comes to windows, you go to Renewal by Anderson. Start by calling 1-877-WINDOWS, 1-877-WINDOWS. They will start by finding out where you're losing energy, driving up costs in summer and winter. They have the nation's best warranty, 1-877-WINDOWS, or go to their website, rbastl.com, rbastl.com.
You can text Larry right now at Larry Connors USA Facebook, Larry Connors USA Facebook.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
FBI whistleblowers have second-class status compared to those in most federal agencies. When Congress adopted the modern system of whistleblower protections, it prohibited retaliation against FBI whistleblowers. But it gave them none of the process that other federal law enforcement agencies received, like the DEA, the ATF, U.S. Marshals, and Secret Service. Whistleblowers of those agencies can all file retaliation complaints with the U.S. Office of Special Counsel, an independent agency. FBI whistleblowers cannot. Whistleblowers at those agencies can all repeal retaliation to the Merit Systems Protection Board, on which I recently served. Until just last year, FBI whistleblowers could not. They finally got that right in last December's NDAA. But Congress must ensure that this new jurisdiction applies as intended to all FBI retaliation cases. Many have been wending their way for years through DOJ's long and extensive process. But the laws prohibiting retaliation have been on the books that entire time.
So the law has been on the books for the entire time that whistleblowers should be protected, but the FBI won't do it for anybody that blows a whistle inside the FBI. You're listening then to Tristan Levitt. He's an attorney for the whistleblowers who appeared recently in Congress testifying as to what they knew going forward publicly and stating how they've been subjected to harassment and ridicule. They haven't been fired. One of them left on his own, but then they try to go get another job. They've been suspended without pay. You might as well consider fired. If you're not getting any money, why are you going to show up? And why do you sit at home hoping the phone will ring and say, okay, come back in and collect your check? That's not going to happen because you're blowing a whistle on what we're doing here. Other federal agencies, as you heard him point out, have been protecting their whistleblowers as they should. There is, according to Congressman Jordan, who oversees Judiciary Committee, that heard a lot of those testimonies the other day, said these whistleblowers face long odds of prevailing against the FBI top brass, the leadership. And even the Washington Times put out a story just 3 days ago talking again about how these whistleblowers that came forward and what they're trying to do, it's just not going to be easy because, as they wrote, and just their opening line tells you everything, the FBI's internal whistleblower protocols provide little to no recourse for Bureau employees who flag wrongdoing and then suffer retaliation. Now, again, that's in part according to Tristan Levitt, but it's also a fact. And some of them, of the three that testified the other day, said they end up having to battle the administration to get some results in their favor, and they're not getting much at all. In the meantime, they're getting no money. Oh, and of course, don't forget, the Democrats have an answer for them. These aren't really whistleblowers. And how do they know? Well, because the very agency they're complaining against has decided we're going to yank their security so they're no longer considered an FBI employee, and they're not a security employee, and so they're not whistleblowers to that extent. And the Democrats, I can't, but they're like a catfish going after blood bait. You ever fish for catfish? Blood bait is something it's a messy, nasty. My granddad and I'd go out, he'd take all kinds of chicken innards and guts and whatever else he could, mix it all together with a kind of a paste and spit chewing tobacco in it and wad it up and put it on a treble hook so that it would hold, and they would drop that thing in on a trot line. We'd go back the next day, and sure enough, here came a big mouth. I mean, a big mouth catfish that sees that thing. Oh, I'm going to gobble that up. Well, that treble hook's got him, and we got him now, and we're going to go have good catfish fillets. These Democrats just flat took that bloody, messy bait thrown out by the FBI saying, no. We revoked their security clearances because of January 6th. We think they might have had a part in it, so they don't have security clearances. And so you can't call them FBI whistleblowers. And the Democrats buy the argument. They say, you can't call them a whistleblower. Why? Well, because the FBI says you can't. Jesus. I mean, bring in the clowns. Oh, sorry, many of them are already there, aren't they? And then when it comes to retaliation for them, I mean, one guy, one of the whistleblowers said he was transferred to D.C. All of his stuff is put in a storage van and to be shipped up there. And he gets there on his first day of assignment. And this is two weeks after his wife has one of their children. He has to go on up there anyway, report, and the first day he shows up, they give him a suspension notice. Now he's got no money coming in. He's been suspended. Can't get his furniture and belongings out of the storage area. But they didn't fire him. They said, no, we didn't retaliate against him. We suspended him while we investigate things, and he just kind of suffers. Tough. Again, Tristan Levitt, the attorney representing some of these FBI agents, says these guys are exposing just how bad and nasty they can get if you step outside the FBI circle.
Time has demonstrated, in my opinion, that it was a mistake to exclude the FBI from the standard whistleblower protection process. It discourages integrity and encourages deceit and even corruption. Congress should treat the FBI the same as all other federal law enforcement agencies, eliminating a special exception and giving its employees access to OSC to investigate retaliation. The hardworking of the employees of the FBI deserve equal protection of the law. The FBI's latest troubling practice is suspending security clearances to retaliate against whistleblowers. Mr. Friend and Mr. Allen, along with Mr. O'Boyle, are just several public examples of this trend. When the FBI suspends a clearance, it also immediately suspends the employee indefinitely, without pay. To make matters worse, it holds them and their families hostage by requiring them to get permission to take another job, permission the FBI routinely denies.
Yes, and we're not doing anything, do what they want, but they can't. They can't do anything on law enforcement. You don't have a security clearance. You can't have access to stuff that where you could get inside an FBI info database or any law enforcement database. No. Well, you could go sweep floors. That'll probably earn your income, wouldn't it? And I'm not dissing those who that's their job and they are custodial services. They're earning legitimate money, working hard, long hours for it, maybe a second or third job for some of them. But these qualified men and women who know how to carry out investigations are now being told, go mop a floor, see if you can earn some dollars there. See, you go. See how far that takes you. And that is a chilling effect on every other agent that says, I know something too, but let's put it this way. The spouse, and it could be the FBI agent's a female, and the spouse is in something else, the man. Or it could be two females. I mean, I'm not going to delineate anyone. The bottom line is the spouse or the rest of the family, do you want to jeopardize them for this kind of stuff? Or is it just better just shut your mouth and get along with it until all the rest of this stuff filters to the ground so you won't be hit by anything falling? And in the meantime, you've got the FBI just, as I said, Christopher Wray telling James Comer, House Oversight Chair, 2 days ago, he had confirmed there is a file that we got at 1023 where a source claims that Joe Biden is linked to a $5 million bribery scheme. Now, that again is just a claim. Do we have any proof? Well, Senator Grassley, to that extent, says, you know what? I have seen the document they're referring to. That's right. Grassley has said, I have seen it. I know why they're concerned about it. I can't say anything other than I have seen it. Ray's now admitted that it exists. He probably had to, because if Grassley's saying he's seen it, he's not going to unsee it. Grassley, I want to quote for you directly. He says, I've seen the bombshell whistleblower doc the FBI is hiding. He says, Ray is not going to turn them over, even though the subpoena, because he wants to protect sources. That's what his claim is. But what's in the forms, he says, is actually the FBI trying to protect itself and the Bidens. Margo Cleveland has a great piece she wrote up for the Federalist. I suggest you read it, but she absolutely quotes Grassley saying, I've seen it, and all it does show, according to the confidential human source, then Vice President Joe Biden agreed to accept money from a foreign national to affect some policy decisions. Just yesterday, Grassley said, I have seen the very document they will not give us. But Ray, he's at the head of the FBI. He's some of the brass that's keeping whistleblowers from going public, so he's not going to step out of line. Coming up, MSNBC Joe Scarborough says, hey, that Biden budget thing, it's a big effing deal. Stand by. You want a beautiful lawn, but if you live by my motto, I don't do projects. So call the experts, Allen Outdoor Solutions, lawn maintenance, landscaping, lighting, irrigation. Recent storms might have created some drainage issues. That's not good for your home. Get immediate help or a quote. Call my friend Steve Allen, 314-647-4800, 647-4800, AllenOutdoorSolutions.com, AllenOutdoorSolutions.com. If you're even thinking about buying a home, you need to contact Homestead Financial Mortgage. Get pre-approved. Jump ahead of others looking at the same house. Often you can close in as little as 15 days. Homestead Financial Mortgage can guide you and your realtor through the maze that slows down the process. Go to my website, easy to remember, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. My first name, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit, and if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience, do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beal has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
You know, the thing is to measure just what a big blanking deal this was.
Those are Biden's words.
To borrow from Vice President Joe Biden after the Affordable Care Act passed. You just go back to a week ago and you look at all of the headlines talking about how we were in crisis. We weren't going to get this done. The Huffington Post, trouble ahead for the debt deal. BBC, debt ceiling crisis looms as talks end with no deal in sight. And it just went on and on. And I think most people were predicting that this was going to be a massive crisis. The fact that Joe Biden was able to do what Joe Biden was able to do once again, and that Kevin McCarthy basically stared down the extremists in his own caucus.
That's given
again a really big deal.
A really big deal, says Joe Scarborough. I mean, we thought we were going to derail everything. Default, the economy, the world economy. And I know some have been complaining, well, you know, we owe so much to China, we don't want to give them more. Actually, and I pointed out this before, most of our debt is owed to Japan right now. Not that China doesn't have a large amount of it. But we don't want a default. I've said that. But we also look at what we've done. And I had some mixed feelings as we were going through it with McCarthy and they're working out. None of the amendments they tried to put on got through the House. They didn't go to the Senate, obviously. It went pretty much like that. They have a ceiling cap for 2 years only, and they're basically, they're still going to be spending money. I can't stress that to you enough. They're going to spend it. They're just going to do it a little slower. They did protect cutting defense budget, but when you look at where they stuck it, and that was what Lindsey Graham and others are complaining about, you're giving it only about a 2% increase when you're going to be below inflation rate. That's going to be several billion dollars short when our opponents are building theirs up. There's so many different parts of this thing, but so it finally gets to the Senate last night, and it gets through. I'm looking at the way it's written by The Hill. The Senate on Thursday, as they point out, passed a sweeping bipartisan bill to suspend the debt ceiling, just days from a fast-approaching fiscal deadline to avert a federal default. Well, I have to have a question there. Janet Yellen was yelling that June 1, that's it. That's it, June 1. By God, the world comes to an end. June 1. Oh, we're not ready yet? Okay, June 5. Can we do it by June 5? Do we need another day? Well, Biden was saying, McCarthy is saying, we got to get this done. Then yesterday, when it comes out of the House, you've got Schumer saying this has got to be done, and right now we cannot delay any longer and get it right to the president's desk. So the Senate passed it. Here's the way it went down in the Senate. A vote of 63-36. It passed roughly an hour before midnight Eastern time after racing through a series of amendment votes that were all rejected. Five Democrats, along with 31 Republicans in the Senate, voted against it. And all this comes after they write here weeks of tense negotiations between the White House and GOP leadership. Now, there were no tent. They weren't doing it for weeks. The House had its bill ready, and there was nothing being done on the other side. Now, I pointed out to you, appropriations bills come out of the House, but the Senate can, they still have a right of approval or disapproval. They could have written a budget bill, too, but they didn't. Because they're in the back of their mind, we're just going to reject whatever they give us if we don't like it. And then we'll blame them for any default. So McCarthy was trying to walk the line. He upset, he might have lost a lot of his base. But among the Democrats, this would be interesting to you. Well, first of all, let me go through the Republicans who, in the Senate, who voted against it. I told you the 31. I think you could probably name those without me doing it. But let's run through the Republicans in the Senate who said no. And this is also should be a reflection upon Republicans in the House that voted for it. You had Congressman Chip Roy of Texas saying, no one should accept this. Senators Barrasso, Blackburn, Braun, Britt, Budd, Cassidy, Cotton, Grapple Cruz, Daniels, Fisher, Graham, Hawley of Missouri, and Cindy Hyde, Clint Smith, Ron Johnson, John Kennedy, Louisiana, James Langford, Mike Lee, Cynthia Lumia, Roger Marsh, I should say, Rand Paul, of course, Pete Ricketts, Jim Risch, Marco Rubio, Eric Schmidt of Missouri, Tim Scott, Rick Scott, Dan Sullivan. Those are the Republicans. You can pretty well name that list without me doing it for you. Of the Democrats who voted against the big effing deal, as Joe Scarborough tells you, he got it done. Bernie Sanders was against it. You can almost bet that he was going to be against it. Senator Elizabeth Warren, you're probably going to be a no vote. She doesn't like doing it anyway. She thinks it doesn't give enough money. And they're all about lifting and having no debt ceiling limit whatsoever. Jeff Merkley, Democrat of Oregon. Ed Markey of Massachusetts. And then, coming out from under the hoodie, John Fetterman, no. I vote no. I think. Did I say no? I said no. Were you canceling your order of fries or are you voting on the bill? I don't know. Do you know? Bottom line, that's it. So it gets passed through. Okay. And now, of course, it goes to the White House for his signature, and obviously he's going to sign it. But I want to stress to you, I'm sorry, I did not give you the full list of Republicans. Shame on me. Tuberville, Vance Wicker, also against it. I'm not surprised. I just stopped the list short. It didn't roll down fast enough for me. But I'm looking at a piece also written in The Hill that really underscores what many Republicans, the majority, I should say not the majority, but real conservatives are saying. This is a piece written by Nicholas Sargon. He's an opinion contributor to The Hill. And Sargon's comments in his past is that he is a economic consultant, doctorate economic consultant for an investment advisors group, affiliated with University of Virginia School of Business, authored 3 books. He says, basically, when it came to this spending bill, if we want sensible fiscal policy, the debt ceiling madness must stop, which is what everybody from Chip Roy and on that side have said. We got to stop doing this. That we're giving these guys another increase in the debt ceiling. Now, granted, we said for only 2 years, but during that 2 years, they could spend all kinds of money, and it would expire January 25 in the midst of a lame duck session. What are we going to do then? And what those on that side were saying, just let's do a CR like they often do, a continuing resolution to keep the budget moving forward. Give us another 90 days and let's really get to work, because finally Biden came out to start talking to us and maybe force the Senate to come up with something as well. They never did work one on it. This is like you buy something and you take it home and you don't like it and you go back and tell the shop, I don't like the way this is done. This should have been done that way. You didn't make it. You bought it. You can change it if you want, but that's the way it came. They weren't going to change it anyway. They were simply going to sign off on it because they've got Biden pushing them forward. Speaking of Biden going forward, you know he took a nasty fall. It really was almost a frightening fall. What did Donald Trump have to say about that? Stand by.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Any day now, any day, Napoli C will open on the streets of St. Charles, right next door to Napoli 3. You'll get lobster, crab, fish. Napoli C opening any day. But if you're in the mood for pasta, Napoli 3 is right next door. It's open for lunch and on Sundays. You can often find me at Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Town and Country, streets of St. Charles, and any day now at Napoli C. Napoli C opening any day now.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
He did? He just fell on what stage?
He's down at Colorado Springs.
He's at the Air Force Academy. He actually fell down? Well, I hope he wasn't hurt. I hope he wasn't hurt. But it's the whole thing is, look, the whole thing is crazy. You got to be careful about that. You got to be careful about that because you don't want that. Even if you have to tiptoe down a ramp.
Now, Donald Trump, if those folks in the audience, as he was appearing in Iowa, thought he was going to laugh and mock Biden, he didn't. And I'm glad he didn't. You know, he recognizes that possibility, and he said, I hope he's okay. I don't want him to get hurt. He said, I hope he wasn't hurt. And when you talked about you got to tiptoe down that ramp, do you remember when he also appeared at the Air Force Academy for a graduation speech of some type or something of that nature? He was walking gently and slowly down this ramp with a general beside him. Now, in the case of Biden, he's walking off the stage, and he trips what they said was over a sandbag. Some had questioned that. Did somebody sandbag him? Well, yeah, there were a couple sandbags, I could tell at least two, holding either the teleprompter and or the microphone so it wouldn't blow over. I don't know if he caught his foot in the strap or if he just nudged to the bag and it threw him off balance. It's a scary fall, and it could happen to anybody. I don't know how many times in a newsroom or a news set that they put sandbags down to help hold something in place, I've tripped up over it. And so Trump was not knocking it. And then he related again what he had done when he finished his speech the last time.
It was pouring rain, and it was horrible and cold and windy, and they have a ramp that was pure like an ice skating rink, and it was like 25 feet long, and I talking to the general, and he has boots on, you know, big combat boots, and they're rubber soles, and I have nice leather, good. And I say, you know what, General, get ready. If I grab you, you just get ready, because I got this stupid ramp that somebody put up, and there's no stairs, right? And I said, so I tiptoed down, and I suffered for that. They never covered my speech. But everybody, the smart people understood that. But that's too bad. If you fell, it's too bad.
Well, to that extent, the state-controlled media quickly said, now no one will pay attention to what he said. They're going to look at how he stumbled and talk about how many of the voters say he's at 80 years old, is too old, and maybe he shouldn't have been out there anyway. They're doing all that. They have been doing that, and that's wrong. But Trump didn't take that approach. He said, I hope he didn't get hurt bad, and I understand it. But when Trump was simply tiptoeing down the stage, they weren't paying attention to his speech either. They simply point out, look at him. He looks like he's decrepit trying to go down that stage. You ever walk down a sloping piece that has ice and water on it? You better be careful. He had no handrail. But NBC reporter Ben Collins suggested the fall for President Joe Biden at the Academy graduation was not a topic important enough to discuss. It shows the video and personnel picking him up. He's hobbling off and basically is saying, now nobody pay attention to what he said. They're just looking at that and going to make a big deal of it. Donald Trump did not do it. He said, you have to be careful, and I'm glad he's okay. You think that would get the hounds that come after him from the left to back off? Are you kidding? No. No, they still see red meat. Now, here's another story that just kind of, it just disturbs me to no end. There's a health center that gives a questionnaire to new parents when their babies are born, asking, do you want your child to be classified as either male, female, non-binary, or even trans man or trans woman, or not listed or not stated? This is a baby. This is a baby. And one woman said, this is so stupid, I think I'm going to register the baby as other, dinosaur gender. This is the Woodgate Valley Health Center in England. But it's the same kind of thing that's going through our area here. And then you got the British version of Glamour magazine for women, put a pregnant transgender man on the June cover for Pride Month. This is a woman who became a man, still had her womb. She got impregnated. She is obviously pregnant, but looks like a man who is now pregnant with a big beer belly, but it's not. She's pregnant. And she's on the front of Glamour Fashion magazine in Britain and said, men can get pregnant. No, you can't. You transgendered, you idiot. As always, I thank you for listening. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.